interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Standing by.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy hump day to you. And after a day off, it is a hump day. Ash Wednesday, March 6th edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 1037 The Game. Ben Love, alongside the famous Clint D., from inside the 237 Roof Studios. No job too big or too small. Just call Lafayette Roofing 237-7663. We got a couple of Bryans coming aboard as guests today. We're sawed in half, only an hour and a half, as we bring you to 5:30. Pregame show from Gainesville, LSU Florida basketball. So let's get right down to business. I'll tell you a little more about our guest at the end of this segment. Big bubble game for the Florida Gators, which means LSU will get everything that Michael White's team has tonight. LSU up to number 10 in the country. It's the highest LSU ranking since December of 2006. Very impressive what Will Wade's group has been able to accomplish on the floor so far in this 2019 season. 24-5 overall, but to me, the part that I absolutely just marvel at, LSU, out of a 14-2 SEC record, is a perfect 8-0 on the road, and they've got a chance to finish that off tonight. LSU looking to finish with a perfect SEC road slate, and to me, that would be the greatest indicator that we have of potential tournament success. How do you play away from home? This isn't the ladies' tournament where LSU, Nikki Fargus and company, they get to start off with the PMAC. Doesn't work like that. This isn't the NIT. Bob Marlin ain't walking through the door of that arena, stadium, or whatever all the jokes were about this time last year. You play on the road. LSU fans may travel depending on where you go. Atlanta, Jacksonville, Houston. Sure, they may travel there. But what happens if you get sent out to Boise, as Big Baby and LSU were a little more than a decade ago? You have to be able to perform on the road. And LSU has been perfect so far doing just that. Even when it's been hairy, 3 out of those 8 road wins in SEC play have been in OT. And the odds makers in Vegas think this one could be heading in that direction as well. Number 10 LSU at unranked Florida. 24-5 LSU. 17-12 Florida. 14-2 LSU, 9-7 in the SEC Florida. And despite it all, Vegas has this one as a pick 'em. They know the onus is on Florida to get this game. Because don't forget, the Gators and Michael White in their regular season this Saturday in Bluegrass Country at Kentucky. This is the definition of a desperation game. And how beautiful it is that for LSU, the shoe's on the other foot. They're not the ones trying to make sure that they stay, what, in all those Joe Lunardi last four in, first four outs, next four in. LSU's ticket is punched. It's just a matter of 2, 3, 4, maybe at worst, if they take a tumble, and I don't predict they will, a 5 seed. So there's a lot on the line. And then there's this. Florida came into the PMAC and handed LSU one of its 2 conference losses back on February 20. An 82-77 affair in OT, and there's a couple of factors that, to me, make this game different. Number one, Tremont Waters. LSU probably over-relied on Trey in that game. You'll recall, it's the way that one unfolded, late in regulation, and especially in OT, when Trey was ice cold but still jacking it up from the parking lot. It was the end of that one that made us wonder, is this why Trey's not playing? Against Tennessee at home, wasn't that long ago, was it? And that quote-unquote undisclosed illness has started to play itself out. Whether it was actually an illness or not, I have a lot of skepticism. an injury, a concussion, that seems more likely. But Trey did come back and play against Alabama, albeit sparingly, this past weekend. How much more will they choose to integrate him in this ball game? The other big difference, and this one works in LSU's favor, going up against one of the better defensive teams in the league, LSU is starting to clamp down in its own right. In the last two ball games, the Tigers have held opponents to 62 points per game. So a big question for me, can LSU's improved defense travel on the road to the McConnell Center in Gainesville? Pretty big implications in this one. Because if LSU holds serve, you got to feel not good, not great, but freaking fantastic about the Bayou Bengals' chances of beating 0-16 Vandy at home this weekend. And so with the win tonight, LSU is basically a step away, and an easy step at that, from clinching the SEC regular season. Even if Tennessee finishes with the same record, Tigers beat the Vols, end of story. LSU wins tonight, and I think 9-0 on the road in SEC play is going to look awfully impressive to the tournament selection committee. As impressive as whatever it will be, 10-2, quad one wins, I don't know. Some of their analytics and mathematics just boggles my mind. But the direction they're heading with the win tonight, and I think LSU takes another step forward toward a number two seed and getting to that two line come big dance time. Switching over briefly to LSU baseball, your biggest news of the day. Yesterday's speculation was confirmed. Mikhail Hilliard going to be back on the mound for LSU baseball. He starts tonight at home in the box against Holy Cross. First pitch from Baton Rouge, 6:30 p.m. And for Hilliard, it's about taking that next step forward. Boy, is that a common theme so far in the show today. Hilliard, who last year occupied the Saturday starter role, felt like for quite some time they moved him around a little. He was so consistent. If he's back, there's another potential bullet that you can fire if you have to replace Zach Hess. And I'll get to him in a moment. If you have to spell whoever it is, a currently injured Jaden Hill, Landon Marceau finding his way as a freshman, whoever it may be, LSU is quite literally in an arms race right now, in that they need to race to get more arms back on the mound, back healthy, and back pitching in high-leverage situations, because SEC play is coming sooner than later. And toward that end, let's get to Zach Hess. According to Maneri, Zach Hess is running out of time to be LSU's Friday starter. And if it continues down its current slide, he might be running out of time to be a weekend rotation guy at all. Now, I'm not ready to predict that that happens, but Maneri used the phrase sense of urgency when referring to what this weekend start against Cal Friday means for Hess. Maneri pointed out that SEC play is coming, and his words, not mine, we might have to face reality. In other words, if it doesn't happen now, boy, they got to wonder if it's going to happen. Could that cause an ultimate shakeup in LSU's rotation? Time will tell. But Maneri, at least putting Hess on serve publicly and on notice publicly that we need you to get right soon, big fella, or we're heading in a different direction. All right, before we head to our first break, we do have two guests today. Brian Snow coming aboard at 4:30, and we'll pick his brain on a couple of teams in the top 25 you might not know enough about. Come March Madness, Texas Tech, Chris Beard's team has a chance to win the Big 12 outright. Like LSU, they're also in the top 10. How bona fide are they come March Madness? Plus, Wofford. Yes, Wofford is in the top 25. Could they sneak up on anyone if they win their conference tournament and advance to the big dance? Those questions and more for Brian Snow at 4:30. And another Brian, Brian Lazar. He'll be with us live from Baton Rouge, a scene center from Alec Box Stadium at straight up 5 o'clock. Don't forget, we're out of here today at 5:30. Making way for LSU hoops. One final reminder, we're coming up very soon on tip-off from Burton Coliseum, St. Thomas More, U-High. Don't want you to leave us, but if you love the Cougars, I encourage you to listen to Danny Jones and Company live from Lake Charles. 4:30 is the pregame show, 4:45, the expected tip-off on our sister station, The Rewind. That's 97.7 FM, 1330 AM in Lafayette, 104.1 in Lake Charles. Briefly, we will break. When we return, I've already talked some LSU hoops, some LSU baseball. We'll mix them together for your sink or swim question of the day. This is B2BS. That's Bumper to Bumper Sports. And we'll be right back on 103.7 The Game.
Winners eat nachos at a ball game and snag a foul ball barehanded without getting a drop of cheese on their shirt. Winners ride home with Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
You're staring down the barrel of a question coming right at you. We got Brian Snow at 4:30, and I'll tease this for you now. Sports Illustrated's Monday Morning Quarterback dropped its latest big board post-NFL scouting combine. One LSU defender is firmly in that top 10. Another's right on the outside looking in. I'll bring that your way at about 4:45. Bumper to Bumper Sports, back with you, bringing you home on this Ash Wednesday on 103.7 The Game. If we were to grade out the form of the two programs we frequented to begin today, LSU basketball, certainly that arrow is pointed up. Maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago, unranked. Currently, the number 10 team in the country. Net rankings may say 13, but who cares? They are on the up and up. There's no doubt about it. LSU baseball started every conceivable poll preseason, number one or number two. They have backslid so far, coming off a sweeping at the hands of Texas. And while one season is very fresh and the other is not, it got me to thinking, right here, right now, which one do you think is about to make a run? I'll officially ask the question on the other side of the music. Exciting and new. All right, time to participate. Here's your sink or swim question of the day. Which is the more likely feat at this point? LSU men's basketball crashes the Final Four. LSU baseball crashes Omaha. I know. Before their respective seasons started, back in, let's say, Halloween, this would have been pretty one-sided. My guess is there's going to be some give and take. In fact, my gut tells me that maybe the underdog 4 months ago will be the leader in the clubhouse today. Think about it and dial us up, but hurry. 706-0111. CD, which way are you leaning?
I'm leaning towards LSU making the Final Four, largely because of the fact that we're talking about at this point in the season. Based off of what I've seen from Zach Hess, their Friday night starter, I don't think there's a whole lot of faith right now in LSU making it to Omaha based off of that alone. I think that's hurting this team more than anything. Because if you don't have a Friday night starter, it's going to wind up being pretty hard to win series, or should I say a consistent Friday night starter. And with LSU, the way they've been playing on the hardwood, I would not be surprised if they can make it to the Final Four.
LSU baseball undeniably had a comprehensive failure this weekend in Austin. And that means all phases, starting pitching Friday and Saturday. I know it got better on Sunday with Eric Walker. Relief pitching, Todd Peterson blowing a lead and a save on Sunday. Hitting, LSU's 2-4 guys going 2 for the series in Austin. And then we can name a couple of instances in which fielding didn't go in the favor of the purple and gold as well. They played their worst series in probably a couple of years, and they got their butts kicked. And it's got a lot of people scrambling, wondering if they were really as good as anticipated. I'm willing to bet on the fact that they are, based on the pedigree of those hitters, the guys we're talking about that went 2-4. Based on the fact that even though Nick Storrs, A.J. Labus, some of these quote-unquote unicorn guys, right, that came through, they're supposed to be fantastic, and now both are injured, unavailable, even without them, you look at what's left, I'm willing to bet that enough of those guys are going to be healthy and they get it together under the tutelage of Alan Dunn. And I know that our friend T and others, they call the show and they wonder how much is this pitching staff annually under Alan Dunn getting better, right? How much do freshmen progress to be juniors and they're good and then they turn into great? What I would say is this. It feels like we have this panic button series once every non-conference season for LSU baseball. Used to be fire Javi. Who is it now? Fire Dunn, fire Paul, fire Skip Bertman retroactively, I guess is what you're going to tell me next. I know. The program hasn't won a national championship since 2009, and that doesn't bode well or sit well with the locals. But I think this staff, in terms of the pitching staff, I think this team all around has too much talent on it. And while LSU basketball is on an incredible roll, I think it's harder, we've seen traditionally, for LSU basketball to make the Final Four than LSU baseball. Even in a year where they're not their best, LSU baseball has made it to Omaha before. And so this may shock you, CD. I think the more likely feat is that LSU baseball makes it to the College World Series in Omaha this year. There is way too much season left. There were guys, even offensively, let's take Zach Kess out of the equation. With Duplantis and Watson, there were starters that came back that nobody really expected would. And then there's arguably the best hitter on the team in Daniel Cabrera. I believe that this offense is going to get it going. I think they're going to find at least two very capable starters. LSU has made it to Omaha in years where it hasn't had three that they feel great about for the entire SEC slate. That's a fact. It's not the most comfortable way to fly, but LSU has done that and then landed the plane in Omaha. And so history, pedigree, and sheer talent, returning and new, leads me to choose the option that many of you may not be at this point. I think it's LSU baseball making it to Omaha. Don't leave me stranded here on a Wednesday. What do you make out of this? Which way are you going? Maybe you feel both will happen. Maybe you feel neither will happen. At this point, I'm just curious which one is more likely to you. 706-0111. We led off talking about LSU at Florida tonight. And you look at the teams that are kind of in the same range as the Tigers in the rankings. Tennessee, Kentucky, not too much above Will Wade's team, and Tigers have beaten them both so far. You start talking about Texas Tech. They've probably been a little more tested this season than LSU. But can the Tigers get to and through a bracket the likes of which this team hasn't seen before? Because that's the other part of it for me. Postseason baseball for LSU is a rite of passage. Most of the guys on this year's team played at Corvallis last year. They played at just about the best that there is. This LSU basketball team doesn't have anyone that's played in the big dance. This LSU basketball coaching staff hasn't led a Tigers team into the waters of the big dance. So can they do it? Absolutely. Am I willing to bet on it just yet? Perhaps not. All right, CD, who do we have that wants to come aboard and play in the sandbox?
Robbie.
Let's get out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Robbie, which is it for you?
What's that?
LSU basketball or baseball? Which one do you like to ride this postseason?
Baseball.
Give me more.
What you mean, give me more?
All right, we appreciate it. That's possibly the shortest answer I think we've ever gotten on the program.
I think it's as simple as that. LSU baseball is going Omaha. Like that.
I deciphered that much.
Yeah,
Clint.
Didn't need to say much more.
I'm eyeball to eyeball with that part. But it's the why, right? And for baseball, it has to be why are you giving a vote of confidence to a group that right now is scuffling, and they are. But again, they were undefeated before last weekend, and while we could point to pitching issues before last weekend, I don't think anybody was ready to discount the possibilities for this year's team and what they could do long term. All right, CD, give me another one. We got a caller here. We're going for more than one word. Who are we going with?
We got Chris.
There we go. All right, let's get out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Feels like Groundhog Day. Chris, who you got?
I'm only going to give you two words. No, man, I'm kidding. look, I'm going to go with you. I'm 100% agreeing with you. It's baseball. If you look at the track record, LSU has notoriously started off slow. They lose midweek games, and they somehow always end up in a super regional or in Omaha. So I feel a lot more confident with the baseball than I do the basketball because we're just not used to being there in basketball.
Yep. You got to do it for the first time. And look, it has happened before. I mean, there are programs that have done it. Last year, I mean, we had a team that came out of nowhere with a nun on the sideline. So it does happen, but boy, it's hard to bet on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I go with proven track records, man. And just till the basketball can do it, I'm going to stick with baseball.
Chris, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for the call.
Appreciate it, man. All right.
All right, we got at least one in so far, CD, on Facebook. Steve says LSU is Omaha bound. And of all places, we had to go to the internet, specifically social media, to get some balanced perspective, where that's kind of been the Chicken Little haven lately for a lot of the Tiger baseball fans. Furious. Where's the team going? Give me the Twitter updates so far. We don't have any write-in responses, but I know we got plenty of votes on the Twitter poll.
Well, we got plenty of votes so far, and it's overwhelming right now. LSU makes it to Omaha, but I didn't just see this pop up. We do have one in particular from Twitter. Voted for Omaha, but both will happen for my guy Brad.
See, there you go. Probably should have given this as a multiple choice, A through D. Brad chose C, both of the above. I'm a little surprised that there are people, again, online and on social media of all places, that are expressing that faith in LSU baseball. But I think it's exactly what Chris said. And I got another anonymous text to the program. Ben, let Robbie live. Hey, look, respect. You want to come in? You want to give one word? Damn it. We'll allow that one word in. My favorite part, and Robbie, I mean this. My favorite part is Robbie's borderline indignation. What do you mean? Describe it. Or what do you mean? Give me more. We may have to cut that sound up because that'll be replaying, at least in my mind, so we can bring it back to the airwaves. Just kind of offended. You asked me a question. I gave you the answer, Ben. Like, what do you mean, give me more? Outstanding. All right, we're coming up on our midway point of hour number one. I told you, we got to move fast today. We're out of here at 5:30. We got two guests coming up. A couple of Bryans. Brian Snow at 4:30. Brian Lazar at 5 o'clock. It's a real Brian move, Brian. And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back in on 103.7 The Game.
Feast of the 10, the fun, touchdown!
Gridiron debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports.
Well, I had never thought of it that way.
But feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
Time to talk college basketball. Welcome back in. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and you're listening to 103.7 The Game. It's Wednesday. It's roughly 4:30. That means aboard the Ardco Equipment Hotline, it's our good friend Brian Snow, basketball recruiting analyst for 247 Sports. How are you, B. Snow?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, and when you and I shared a space at scout.com, I vividly remember writing articles about how the SEC was going to work its way from four teams into the Big Dance down to three. They were really good at that for about 3 or 4 years running there. This time around, it's going to be a lot higher number. What would you guess it is at this point?
Right now, I'd say seven. You're looking at Tennessee, LSU, Kentucky, Auburn, Florida, and the Mississippi schools. And then Alabama's obviously got a chance to make it eight, but they just can't seem to do a unique thing called winning. So that tends to be getting in the way of making the tournament. So I'll say seven SEC schools, and I think it's pretty safe. Now, granted, Florida needs to not lose to Georgia and do things like that, but I'll say seven.
Well, all right, let's pick at that Florida scab briefly. They're at home tonight against number 10 LSU, and they finished the season at number 6 Kentucky. So if they finish the regular season, let's see, that would put Michael White's group 17-14, 9-9. Are they sweating it even more then?
Yeah, because at some point in time, winning and losing matters. Now, more teams with more losses are going to be allowed in to the tournament than ever before, and there's good reasons for that. One, teams are playing more games. Two, teams are playing more games in conference. And three, because of the emphasis on non-conference scheduling, teams are playing more non-conference games against good teams. When you play more good teams, you're going to lose more games. So, therefore, and then you go along with the tournaments at 68 instead of 64, and I know it's been that way for a while, but it's still reality. So more teams with more losses are going to get in. But, yeah, when you're 17-14, you don't want to be going to, what is it, Nashville for the tournament. You lose there because you don't have a good seed, and all of a sudden you're 17-15. That's a whole lot of not good. So it'd be in their best interest to win one of the next two.
That's just good logical math right there. Brian Snow, our guest on Twitter.
I was told there'd be no math.
Well, and you just did some, though. At BSnow247.
I'm better at math than anyone because I failed it three times in college, so I've taken it more times than anybody else. So I'm better than everybody else at it.
See, but by that logic, Shaquille O'Neal should be like the best free throw shooter ever because of Hack-a-Shaq and the exposure to the free throw, no?
I didn't say it was sound logic. I said it's my logic.
Time is a flat circle. All right, Brian, I want to get over now to Duke. And a lot of people know just how good Zion Williamson is. I think they have grown to appreciate some of the other pieces as well. Do you believe this Duke team can win it all without Zion Williamson, whether he becomes healthy or not, or just decides to hang it up for the year? If they're forced to play without him, can they tear down the Nets?
I don't think so, just because when you don't make threes, and they don't make a lot of threes, unless you have that alien player, it's really going to be hard to win six games, five of which would be against good teams in a row. So I would say in order for Duke to win it all, they need Zion. Yeah, I think they can go to a Sweet 16, maybe even a Final Four, but I don't think they can win the national championship without Zion Williamson. A
couple more minutes with Brian Snow on 103.7 The Game. Every Wednesday we like to get a bit of a national look at college basketball. And part of what we love doing, Brian, is giving teams and their resumes a once-over. Let's do that for Texas Tech. Chris Beard's team is in the top 10, I believe number 8 right now. They've got a chance to win the Big 12 outright. What do you like most about the Red Raiders?
First of all, the fact that they are excellent defensively. They're one of the best defensive teams in the nation. Jarrett Culver's a beast. And then offensively, they keep getting better. I mean, they've been playing their best basketball for the last few weeks. And as you said, chance to win the Big 12 outright. Now, the Big 12's not quite as good as it's been the last couple years, but still a very good league. And if you win the Big 12 outright, you're really doing something. So I think Chris Beard's team has Final Four potential. Obviously it comes down to the draw, and you got to get a little lucky and everything that comes with it. But, you know, that team, I mean, they're the real deal. They really are. Jarrett Culver's a pro. He's a lottery pick. And when you have a lottery pick and then you have a really good coach and a really good system and guys who have bought in, you have a chance to make a deep run.
So last week you told us you wouldn't trust Kansas at all because of how bad they are on the road. This week you're telling us that you really do like Texas Tech. Is there any other team in the Big 12 that you think could make some waves come March?
I don't believe in Kansas State, especially. I mean, Bruce Weber, he's a really good coach, and they have guys who are bought in, but I just don't know if they're quite talented enough. You know, Oklahoma, not really. Texas, absolutely not. TCU's falling off the map. So I would say, you know, the team I really do trust there is Texas Tech. I'm just not sure really any other team I think is that good and should be considered scary. That said, that doesn't prohibit any team from winning a couple games in the tournament. We've seen that happen before, but none that I'm really running to the window in Vegas and saying, put my money on this squad.
Brian, there's just about zero chance that a top 25 team exists I haven't seen play at least once, except I realized this week it's more than 0%. It's 100%. I've never seen Wofford play. They're the number 23 team in the country. What should we know about Wofford?
First thing is be better at your job and watch more games.
That's fair.
That's the first thing. The second, that Wofford can really, really shoot the ball. I mean, they are unreal from behind the three-point line. They have one of the best shooters in the country. And then they have a really good coach, Mike Young, as well. They've got a system. They're a veteran team. Are they a team that realistically could probably go to the Final Four? I don't think so. They're not athletic enough. They're not big enough. But they can give a lot of teams a lot of problems, and they can really shoot that thing. So, I mean, they're not a team that anyone's going to want to see because they can drop 15, 16 threes on you in a game.
And you know what's interesting? We continue to follow in these parts, obviously LSU. If they end up potentially on a three line, Wofford, to me, has the makings of one of the most dangerous six seeds in a while in this tournament. So, I mean, even in a second-round matchup, they could give somebody absolute fits that we thought was really bona fide going into March.
Yeah, and like I said, they're veteran. It's tough to say they're, like, tournament-tested because they're really not. But they're a veteran team. They're really well-coached, and they all know their roles. Then they have a star player. So when you have that with Wofford, you know, a lot of people across the country be looking, Wofford, no way they can beat LSU or no way they can beat Purdue. Yes, they can. Now, I might not pick them to, but it certainly would be possible.
All right, in the next week, you can go math. I'll watch Wofford, and we'll compare notes if that sounds fair to you.
Yeah, you know, why not?
Brian, you know we appreciate it, man. Enjoy your week.
Anytime. Thanks.
He is Brian Snow, basketball recruiting analyst, 247 Sports, and probably even funnier in person than on radio. Just going to tell you, had a large time meeting that guy. I can't believe it's been 5 years in Indy at the Scouting Combine. And still, he's one of my go-to sources when it comes to college hoops, especially when you get into that Big Ten country area. The guy's absolutely dynamite. And I think for a while, he basically had a key to Butler's gym. I'm just saying. We'll be right back in. I'll just say a little bit more, including a disturbing revelation about many people's favorite talk show host on the tube. But we're going to try to get to the lighter side of it with one of the best clips you've heard in a long time. That plus those SI.com big board updates that I told you about when it comes to the NFL draft. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We're going to bring all that to you and more on the other side on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
This show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield,
but it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Right back in, closing out the 4 o'clock hour. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. You hear me say pre-shade all the time. This time I'll call it BS. It's a little bonus shade. I don't think our friends from Patio Center will mind at all. Before we exited stage left in our last segment, I said we had a disturbing revelation about a talk show host. That would be inaccurate. That's what I do. Now, I'm a talk show host that talks about games, but this man is a game show host, and arguably the best to ever do it. Earlier today, Alex Trebek, host of Jeopardy, obviously, reveals he has been diagnosed with and for some time now been dealing with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. I bring that up first and foremost to say that I was raised on Jeopardy, absolutely did then as a child, and absolutely do now as a quote-unquote adult. Love that program. And yeah, you can cue up some of that Jeopardy music CD. So in all seriousness, Alex Trebek, look, we are behind you 100% here on B2BS. The other reason I brought it up is because I will now have Clint play, in honor of Alex Trebek, my absolute favorite Trebek clip of all time. You only think you can write stuff this good for Will Ferrell on Celebrity Jeopardy. Listen to this woman describe one of her hobbies when they get to know one of the contestants, and then catch at the very end. Yeah, you're going to have to wait about 20 seconds as she wades through her garbage. Wait until the boom is dropped by Trebek at the end.
I think it's very fun. It's called Nerdcore Hip Hop. It's
Nerdcore Hip Hop.
Yes. It's people who identify as nerdy, rapping about the things they love, video games, science fiction, having a hard time meeting romantic partners, you know. It's really catchy and fun.
Losers, in other words.
That is amazing. And if you had never heard it before, well, now you have. She goes off the deep end, right? Toward the very end there. She had you for a while with some of the hobbies, but basically people who can't find dates is how she ended it. Losers, in other words,
that's
Clint.
That's the best.
So, Alex Trebek, we're behind you. We support you. Come back and drop fire like that. We're here for it.
Well, let's be honest. He had a lot of fun with it with his announcement. I don't know if you saw that or not in between breaks, but he actually said towards the end of it, he's like, he has to be pancreatic cancer because he has 3 years left on his contract.
There you go. and if we were to try it out, sink or swim part two today, if there had to be a replacement at some point for Alex Trebek, based off what we did last week with replacing Jason Witten, the answer would be,
yeah, I think it would be 100% Ken Jennings, in all honesty.
You are out of your mind. The answer would be Dave Schultz.
Okay.
Were you sleeping last Thursday?
Yeah.
We asked who would replace Jason Witten on Monday Night Football, and there was an outpouring of Dave Schultz and like a couple of sprinkled in Peyton Mannings.
I think it's because, we only have to hear him once a week rather than 5 days a week.
So, Trebek, get better, big fella. A game show host, not a talk show host. So there's the bonus shade. But perhaps there's even more to be had. And before we get to that updated SI.com, Monday morning quarterback, updated big board. Before we do any of that, our guy Robbie, he called in.
Yeah.
He had one word. He has significantly more than one word on Facebook. And so maybe I just cut him off, because what you didn't tell me, you know, as the producer of the show, was that he actually wanted to talk about Zach Hess. So let's give Robbie his moment in the sun. I love the way he sets this up, too, by the way. This is Robbie, who called and said, "What do you mean?" I love it. "What I called to comment on was Zach Hess. I believe that he needs to move back to the bullpen, as he was a game changer, coming out and gave us energy that we haven't had in a while. I see him a lot like Matty Ice, a.k.a. Matty Ott. He was a great closer and was forced to try to start, and he just slowly disappeared. I believe that we have a lot of young talent, and we have a bright future, and if we play our cards right, we can make a hell of a run." Who would have known? If we just let Robbie talk for a little while, he was going to spin some good yarn.
Exactly. You know, like I said, whenever you call in during Sink or Swim, 9 times out of 10, it's all about the Sink or Swim topic. And he wasn't necessarily ready for it, but I appreciate him for kind of responding and giving us more than just 2 or 3 words.
Facebook fingers. That's all that is right there. Robbie, we appreciate you. We got time for more calls, as many words or word as you desire. 706-0111. All right, I teased this enough. Let's get down to brass tacks. After the NFL scouting combine, SI.com released an updated big board. They've got Devin White at number 5. Greedy Williams at number 13. And this echoes some of what I've seen elsewhere. It's almost as if people don't know exactly how to feel nationwide about Greedy Williams. It's a little bit baffling for me, but there's starting to be more of a consensus on Devin White. In fact, here's the write-up. He doesn't quite have the instincts of last year's top linebacker prospect, Bears rising star Roquan Smith, but White is bigger and just as fast. He's still learning the position. They go on to point out he was a top running back recruit before coming to LSU and made major strides as a junior. His football character will encourage NFL evaluators, and if he stays on this trajectory, White has a chance to be a special player at the next level. I don't think any of us would disagree with that. But Daniel Jeremiah, before the combine, had Greedy Williams somewhere in the mid to low 20s. On his big board. Again, that's not saying he'll be taken in this spot, just that he's the fill-in-the-blank best player available in this draft. But think about what I just read to you as far as the Devin White write-up. Here's the Greedy Williams write-up. And when I say people don't know how to feel about him, sometimes that's reflected in the lack of words. A long, fluid, and fast cover corner, Williams has the physical traits and ball skills to be a dominant, quote-unquote, Seattle-style corner, though opponents are going to test his willingness to tackle early on. Let me assure you, because I read this thoroughly, everybody else in the top 15 gets gushed about 2 graphs. That was almost 2 sentences. But Seattle-style corner. Boy, we got pre-shade, a little bonus shade for days, it feels like, in today's program. Seattle-style, to me, would imply the kid can play cover two. We trust him in a Richard Sherman zone type situation. To which I would respond, LSU almost exclusively goes balls to the wall man defense from its island corners under Corey Raymond in the system of Dave Aranda. So what in the wide world of sports are you talking about with that diagnosis? Seattle style cornerback. Maybe I read that wrong. Maybe you read into that differently. But the Pete Carroll defensive style has been to run a lot of that cover too. They had dynamite safeties that could come down and lower the boom on you, right? Cam Chancellor, Earl Thomas, cover two style. I don't think that's what you're getting at all with the guy who's that long, that fast, and has hip movement as dynamic as Greedy Williams. And, oh, by the way, he just blazed a 4.37. Cover two corner. That, to me, was a very interesting descriptor, or Seattle style, at least. As far as where he's going to be drafted, I just can't imagine that Greedy Williams gets out of the top 10. And if he does, boy, it's not going to be by much. Some of your other noteworthy performers from the combine and where they ended up. Everybody's favorite wide receiver, DK Metcalf, number 16. Built like a linebacker, runs like a track star. They loved what he did during the combine week. But they do take some shots at his development, saying he'll need some time when he comes to the next level. Injury-prone as well, played in just 21 games as a collegian at Ole Miss. So everybody loves DK Metcalf after the underwear Olympics, but you got to be careful with football played with pads on. As far as the top three, this is pretty consistent no matter where you go. Nick Bosa, one. Quinnen Williams from Bama, two. And Josh Allen from Kentucky, three. And I continue to read a lot, and I mean a lot, of Von Miller comparisons when it comes to Josh Allen. After that, it's kind of your pick of the litter. Some people like Rashawn Gary out of Michigan, Ed Oliver out of Houston, Montez Sweat out of Mississippi State. But the other name that I did want to bring up, and for what it's worth, they do have Dwayne Haskins ahead of Kyler Murray in their QB rankings here. But the other name that's interesting to me, and this would show that the Alabama system is working in terms of getting drafted, because even positionless type players at Alabama are starting to find a major home aboard the top of NFL drafts. Josh Jacobs, a running back at Alabama, is the number eight player on the big board here, and I've seen him in the top 10 other places as well. They laud the fact that he played some Wildcat and he was physical, 5'10", 220, that he's a natural pass catcher, that he doesn't mind blocking. But this was a guy who made some of his bones as a special teams player, and even later in his career, Josh Jacobs had one, as in only the lonely, one 20-carry game in his collegiate career. Think about what I just said. He's rated as a top 10 player in this year's draft by a lot of different places. He had one 20-carry game. So, wow, what Alabama's doing for some of these kids, absolutely amazing, because there is no way in hell we'd ever be talking about an LSU back that wasn't a bell cow that's got a chance to go in the top 10. In fact, I'm not sure we'd ever be talking about that from any other school. That one's been blowing me away. All right, we've got a little bit of an update for LSU baseball, and I'll slot it in appropriately with one final word.
What's up, Katie Anna? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Out. Paul Maneri announcing moments ago that Josh Smith out tonight against Holy Cross for precautionary reasons. Maneri went on to say that his starting shortstop has been dealing with a slight hamstring issue. This is nothing major. So with Smith out tonight, Hal Hughes will slide to shortstop, and professional hitter Chris Reed will start at third base. So out is your final word, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. They're your final stop to fill the stomach and tank as you head home tonight on Maurice Avenue. We've got 30 minutes left. We'll start it off with Brian Lazar. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, coming right back on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
So who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah!
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour 2 of 2 underway, and a shortened hour at that. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 1037 The Game. Ben Love, Clint Domang bringing you to tip off, or I should say the pregame show, number 10 LSU at Florida. That pregame show, Chris Blair, John Brady will be 5:30. Tip-off from the O'Connell Center is at 6 o'clock. We will talk some LSU hoops with our next guest, but I want to lead off with LSU baseball. Aboard the ARDCO Equipment Hotline, it's Brian Lazar, TigerBait.com. Brian, great to have you here. How are you today?
Good, Ben. How are you doing this afternoon?
Everything here is good. So far, I believe the weather is going to hold up in Baton Rouge for LSU to play Holy Cross. Mikhail Hilliard back on the mound. Your expectations for this start tonight and how they'll progress him forward leading into SEC play?
Well, he's made a couple of appearances so far as he's been recovering from a sore shoulder, which really flared up, I think it was during the SEC tournament last year. And he didn't pitch much in the fall, if any, and, you know, was held back a little bit when preseason practice started. But he's made a couple of appearances. The second one, his two innings, I believe, he threw against Texas over the weekend were pretty good. And I'm sure that they'll get him out there for two or three innings tonight to see how he looks. And look, the way the LSU pitching staff is going right now, they need every possible pitcher to be on hand because, you know, the Tigers pitching staff has not been good at all so far. And look, Ben, everything in baseball comes down to pitching and especially starting pitching. And if LSU doesn't get things straightened out there, they're not going to be the contender this year that everybody thought they were going to be.
And Paul Maneri definitely sounded some warning bells in the last 40 hours about his Friday night starter, Zach Hess. But I'm going to look to you for an interpretation, Brian. Was he saying that Hess is starting to run out of time to remain a Friday starter or running out of time to remain a weekend rotation guy at large?
I think that's the Friday starter because I just don't know at this point if LSU has three starters better than Zach Hess. But, Ben, Zach Hess needs to get out the Friday role. You know, he is now, and this is a pretty good sample size, 19 starts last year and this year for him. He has made 9 quality starts in those 19 games, and a quality start is defined as at least 6 innings and allowing no more than 3 earned runs, which is a pretty mediocre. If you go 6 innings and give up 3 earned runs, that's a pretty mediocre 4.50 ERA. And he has only delivered a quality start 9 out of 19 times. Now, people say, well, yeah, sometimes he goes out after 5 innings, he's only given up 1 run. But the problem with that is you need your Friday guy to go deeper into that first game of a series because then you start burning your bullpen up. If you only get 5 innings out of your starter on Friday, you got to use your bullpen for 4 innings in that first game. And now you expect to have to use the bullpen even more in the second and third game. So that's why you need that Friday guy to go deep. Now, here's another number, and I think this is even more telling. I said only 9 of his 19 starts have been quality. LSU's record in those 19 games, 10 wins, 9 losses. That means what's LSU's chances of with Zach Hess on the mound getting off to a good start and a win in the opening game of the series? It's basically 50-50. And that's one reason why this team, when they've gone on the road now last year and this year, has had no success. They haven't won a series on the road now last year or this year. They lost all 5 SEC series on the road last year. Then they lost 2 straight games to Oregon State, had Corvallis in the regional, and then they go and get swept at Texas this year. So that's 7 straight series on the opponent's home field that they've lost. And look, like I said, it all comes down to starting pitching, or all comes down to pitching, and especially starting pitching. And LSU's having problems there right now.
Nothing but facts. He is Brian Lazar. He's a senior writer for TigerBait.com. Joining us for a few more moments on 103.7 The Game. Hey, we got news moments ago, Brian, that Josh Smith will be out tonight for precautionary reasons. Citing that slight hamstring issue. Any reason for you to believe this could be something recurring and lingering?
Well, hamstrings can be. You know, again, I don't know how serious it is. You know, I'd say this, that if he doesn't start in the opening game of the Cal series on Friday, then it may be a little bit serious than what everyone is expecting it to be. So I can see them giving him a rest tonight if it's a little bothersome, but, you know, we'll wait and see what happens over the weekend.
Out of the injured pitchers, and these are guys that started the season that way or since have been designated, I guess, with that label, who do you feel the most confident in? And those are guys that I would classify as what? Eric Walker, Jaden Hill, and then, of course, I'm blanking right now. I think we had
Mikhail Hilliard.
Yeah, there we go. Mikhail Hilliard, who's starting tonight. Out of those three, which one do you think ultimately kind of survives and gets back into the rotation?
Well, look, I think Walker is going to be fine. It's just going to take time for him to build back up his velocity and to just get mound sharp after not pitching for, you know, a year and a half. So he's going to have to get by a little bit on his guile and his location, which, you know, which are good. But I feel pretty confident in him. Hilliard last year, you know, for the most part, he was pretty good. You know, he threw pretty well for a freshman. So I think that if he's healthy, he'll be adequate. And then, of course, Jaden Hill looked pretty good in his first two starts. So I'm comfortable with all three of those guys, but I don't think any of those three is a number one pitcher.
We'll switch it over for a couple of minutes, Brian, if you don't mind, to LSU basketball. And the Tigers tipping off at Florida in less than an hour. I thought it was interesting. Vegas has this one as a pick 'em. Is that just because of the way the first one unfolded in Baton Rouge, or just how desperate Florida might be to win this game?
Well, you know, if the game's even, let's say that means on a neutral court, LSU would be about a 5-point favorite. I think that's pretty fair. I would think that on a neutral court, LSU maybe 6. But look, Florida had been playing really well. Came up and had a bad game against Georgia at home last weekend, and so now Florida, on the bubble, have the Gators have two tough games this week: LSU at home and Saturday at Kentucky. If they lose both games, now you're looking at them finishing, 9-9 in the conference, and then they will definitely have to do something in the SEC tournament next week. So, but going back to your question, the pick's about right. I mean, maybe I could have seen LSU a 1-point favorite, but, Florida, played very well. Just exactly what Will Wade has said, I guess that was Monday, he got out coached in that game, and I think he's right. You know, Mike White had a great plan that night. They were ready for LSU. They put height on Tremont Waters, and when height guards Tremont, he has struggled. The biggest thing in that game is Florida's two seniors, Kevon Allen and Jalen Hudson, had great games. You know, Allen scored 21, and I think he scored half of those in the overtime period. And Jalen Hudson, who came into this year an All-SEC player a year ago, and Florida's best player, and he had lost his starting job, was averaging about 6 points a game on the year, and he scored 15. So the two seniors for Florida in a game which Florida needed to have in Baton Rouge did the job. So that's LSU has to sort of keep those two guys under control tonight.
Brian, I'll finish here. In your mind, is there any reason to rush Tremont Waters back into production for the final two regular season games, tonight at Florida, Saturday versus Vandy?
Well, it'll be interesting to see if they start him tonight. You know, Will said that he was on a minutes restriction at Alabama, 25 minutes. No minutes restriction, he said, for tonight. I don't know. I'd feel comfortable just as well starting Javonte Smart again and bringing Waters off the bench. I mean, Waters will end up, if there is no minutes restriction on him, even if he doesn't start, he's going to play at least 30 minutes. So, now, do I think rushing him back in? Yeah, because I'm old school. If I got a chance to win a conference championship, I'm going to win one. And I know Will Wade thinks like that, and that's why I'm going to do what I can tonight to win this game, to have a chance to win the SEC. And, people say, well, we'll hold him out. Well, they're not holding him out for the SEC tournament. They're holding him on saying, well, let's make sure that he's ready to go full speed for the NCAA tournament. Well, let's just say you win a couple of games in the NCAA tournament. and then you get beat in the Sweet 16. Well, if I'm getting beat in the Sweet 16, I'd like to have an SEC championship on my ledger. You know, to get beat in the Sweet 16 and then also not have a Southeastern Conference title, yeah, that would bother me a little bit. So that I'm for doing everything possible to try to win these next two games and get at least a share for the conference championship.
Very well said. Brian, I know you got work to do tonight. We appreciate the time. Catch up with you down the road.
Okay, thanks, Ben. Talk to you later.
Brian Lazar, TigerBait.com, and amen to one thing that he said in there for sure. Because heaven help us if winning becomes an old school notion. I loved that. I'm old school. I like having a chance to win a conference championship. Heaven help us if that feeling ever subsides as we hit our final break of the program. Again, we'd love you to stay here. We hope you do. I'm throwing shade on the other side of this break. We've got LSU basketball at Florida beginning at 5:30, but on our sister station right now, St. Thomas More, through one quarter, has a 16-12 lead over U High. That's over in Burton Coliseum in Lake Charles, and it is the semifinal, one of two semifinals in Select Division II. So, again, Danny Jones and company have that call on the rewind, 97.7 FM, 1330 AM in Lafayette, 104.1 in Lake Charles. We'll bounce right back. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
We're going back to our regular show, all right?
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 103.7 The Game.
It's awesome, baby!
It is awesome, Dick Vitale, until you get popped by a local legend. And that leads us in perfectly to the final segment of today's show. You're listening to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Enough of the bonus shade. Let's get down to the real thing. Here's your daily reminder. It's a PSA locally that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the customized patio covers with the cypress accents. And know that you can trust in their management top-down, starting with Mark, to help you create a vision and then fulfill it. You can also trust their professional installers inside your home. Collectively, the team at Patio Center, they're ready to up your patio game in 2019. And all it takes to start is a trip to patiocenter.com. The kings of customization, it's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
Just a good old-fashioned case of punch, counterpunch. Dick Vitale, legend for the mothership, and a college basketball enthusiast promoter, if ever there were one, tweeted out earlier this morning. In SEC play, LSU, Tennessee have two losses, Kentucky has three. Vitale continued, if the regular season finishes that way, the SEC tourney seeds would be LSU 1, Tennessee 2, Kentucky 3. All right, we're all good so far, Dick. But then he did this. If the right call was made at end of LSU-Kentucky game, seeding would be Kentucky 1, Tennessee 2, LSU 3. And Kent Lowe was not going to let that slide, not even a little bit. Local legend Kent Lowe, LSU Sports Information Director, and a pretty big fan favorite here on B2BS. He's been on the program a number of times. Kent Lowe responded to Dick Vitale with the following. But respectfully, sir, if a quote-unquote different call was made, the game goes to overtime. And even as much as an expert that you are on college basketball, you can't assume the result once the ball is thrown up for the extra 5 minutes. Kent Lowe from the top rope. And my only question is, Dick Vitale, did that feel awesome, baby?
It's awesome, baby!
But it really wasn't today. I'm just saying.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
That's my man right there. That's our friend, Kent Lowe, an expert bowler, a bowling columnist, and somebody who I don't mind telling you was a lector at my local Catholic church. In fact, he was really fond and still is really fond of finding a way to be the lector at the Christmas morning mass. So I don't think it's hyperbole for me to say, in describing him, the voice of Christmas. That feels fair, right?
That sounds about right.
The voice of Christmas.
Yeah, I'm the voice of Mardi Gras. And
you're the voice of Mardi Gras. Kit Lowe is the voice of Christmas, right? So it's fair for me to say that. He is a really, really good man. But I thought that was just stupendous stuff. And I am not by any stretch a Dick Vitale hater. Dick Vitale's been phenomenal for the game of college basketball and growing the sport. But Kit Lowe putting him in his place there, and what people are really digging the most on Twitter is the beginning part. But respectfully, sir. I think that's old school for...
With all due respect.
Or I will slap you in the face. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of like... Yeah. That's kind of on the slick for, if we weren't in public on Twitter right now, I'd slap you for saying this. But respect... Did you just Schultz laugh me?
No, not entirely.
Unbelievable.
It's great, though. It's not a fake laugh. It's legit.
Kent Lowe was tremendous today. He always is. So whatever he's doing right now out in Gainesville, Florida, probably feverishly putting together pregame notes for Chris Blair and John Brady, know that we salute you from here in the Hub City. Big show today. We've had a lot of fun. If you're just now tuning in, I know half the time, so we had to go double time as we march through B2BS. Here's what you need to know. LSU tonight at Florida. It is a pick'em game. So the people in the desert know that Florida's desperate. Gators, 17-12, 9-7 in league play. And they've got ranked LSU tonight at home. They've got ranked Kentucky Saturday on the road. This is one Florida desperately needs. On the Tiger side of the ledger, Will Wade's group looking to finish a perfect SEC road slate. Can't tell you how difficult that is. And they're looking to avenge a loss to the Gators in OT. That's a February 20 game that was played in Baton Rouge. On the LSU baseball side of things, Mikhail Hilliard will get the start tonight against Holy Cross in the box, 6:30 first pitch. Josh Smith will be out for precautionary reasons. He's got a slight hamstring issue. Hal Hughes going to slide over to shortstop tonight. Chris Reed, professional hitter, is going to be the starter at the hot corner on third base. All right, let's get out now quickly to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Ron wants to talk Pels. Ron, I got about a minute left. What you got?
Yeah, Ben, just once again, your opinion. As far as what the Pelicans have been through, what they accomplished last year and what they're going through this year, do you think Alan Chantrell deserves another year with the Pelicans? Because I look at him, and I don't think the guy's a bad coach, you know, and – with that being said, do you think they're going to give him another year?
He absolutely deserves a look at this thing. Ron, I'll go a little bit more, but I appreciate the question. Here's my thought process just quickly, because we've got to wrap it up. It depends on who the next GM is, and it depends on the vision in which they want to shape the franchise. This day and age, everybody wants to get smaller, more athletic, and play run and gun. Boy, that sounds like Alvin Gentry to me. But I guess if some way, somehow, you brought in somebody who was a little more old school, a little more, I guess, reliant on big men, wanted to play a little more methodically, half court, more physically, then I guess they could want somebody that's got that type of pedigree to be their chef as the head coach. But I got to tell you, the way they're playing for Alvin Gentry right now, if you got the right type of team guys in, boom, post-shaded AD. Absolutely. Alvin Gentry deserves a look. And I think whoever comes in would be well served to make sure he gets it. It's a good question, Ron. Our thanks to the Bryans, Brian Snow, Brian Lazar, all of you who called in, tweeted in, Facebooked in with your Facebook fingers. We appreciate you. For the famous Clint D, my name is Ben Love. We'll see you tomorrow, 4 o'clock from the Taproom River Ranch. This has been Bumper to Bumper Sports, LSU, Florida basketball, next on 103.7 The Game.